It says, then there were two thieves crucified with him, one on the right hand and the other on the left hand. God sets all this up, by the way. There's a divine picture here that we're going to look at. And these were just, you know, deliberately, these are just thieves. That's all it tells us. They're thieves. They're equal distance from the Savior. There's three crosses. You see the picture everywhere around the world. Three crosses. You know, two thieves on either side of them. One of them, at the end of this day, ends up in paradise, and the other one ends up in Hades in torment. And it's done that way deliberately. Look, they're equal distance from the Redeemer. And it says initially they're both railing at him and mocking him and screaming at him. But somehow they must hear him, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Somehow they must hear him, Mother, woman, behold thy son. You know, John, behold thy mother. Somehow in the middle of all this, one of them realizes, how can he do this? He's beaten worse than we are. He's in the same pain. You know, and one of them finally says, hey, man, we're here justly, but this guy, he didn't do nothing. Stop screaming at him. And he turns to Jesus and says, Lord, incredible for Christ to hear that on the cross. Lord, he didn't know the sinner's prayer. He didn't know the four spiritual laws. He said, Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom? Jesus said, I tell you the truth, today you're going to be with me in paradise. What a gift to Jesus. But isn't it an interesting thing? None of them have any cred. They're both thieves. One's not better than another. That's like us sitting here today. And the remarkable thing is the middle cross is where there's way more sin, way more than these thieves. On the middle cross is the sin of the world. It says in Isaiah 53 that he laid on him the iniquity of us all. People think, you know, sometimes they think about these thieves. That's one thing. But the weight of sin on the middle cross didn't even compare with what they had done. As Christ is there in my place. And they that passed by, that probably gives us the sense that it is down on the road right by the skull at the top of the hill. They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it again in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross. Likewise also, the chief priests mocking him. Religious people that aren't saved are the worst. Likewise, the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, he saved others, himself he cannot save. Here it is again. If he be the King of Israel, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusted in God, let him deliver him now if he will have him, for he said, I am the Son of God. If you're the Son of God, come down from the cross. If you're the King of the Jews, come down from the cross. The very reason he didn't come down from the cross is because he was the Son of God, the Messiah of Israel and of you and I. That's the very reason he stayed on the cross. These guys are telling you, if you're the Son of God, oh yeah, if you're the Son of God, come on down. If you're the King of the Jews, come on down. He is and he will. He is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of God and he's coming down pretty soon. He's going to do it. He's going to do it. He is and he is. He's coming down. Timing wasn't right here. But he's coming down, that's for sure. How prophetic. He saved others, himself he cannot save. That's the whole point.